we present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiber. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Hello. How quickly the time goes by. Here is yet another edition of My Music. The cast, may I remind you, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, competing in musical knowledge, if that's the expression I want, against John Amis and Frank Muir. How very pleasant, I reflected the other day, if we could start one of these programmes with a touch of brass. No sooner said than done. Ian Wallace. Ian, two marks are coming your way, I feel confident. First of all, for one of them, who was that march named after?
It was named after Field Marshal Radetzky.
That is correct.
I think it's the tune that somebody once said made them feel as if you could rush out and take Trafalgar Square single-handed.
Yes. Indeed, sir. Yes, that's a mark. Yes, for the second mark, when I tell you the band was conducted by a Mr. Mortimer, which band do you think it might have been?
Mr. Mortimer? Could you be more specific?
Mr. Rex Mortimer.
Oh, Rex Mortimer.
Yes, well
done.
Ah,
that's the Foden's one.
Yes, Foden's Motorworks Band, it says on the label. Rex Mortimer, member of a marvellous brass band family, of course, father,
Fred. Harry Mortimer.
Harry and so on.
Harry,
yes, Harry, his brother.
That's why I asked you, I didn't hear you say Rex.
Well, I didn't. No, I was challenging you to ask me, and you did. Mm. One mark plus one equals two. Dennis, whose film biography did this theme introduce? Super tune, whoever may have got in with it first.
Well, I tell you what, my first memory of this is, well, this was the middle 50s when this film came out, and it was one, I believe it was the top moneymaker in the British cinema. And Frank and I were writing a radio series at that time, and it was very strict still. And we got hauled over the carpet for using the word damn in a programme. And the following week, we made a reference to the record-breaking film, The Darn Busters. Yes. Which was, and it was the biography of the chap who invented that skip bomb that they Barnes Wallace.
Barnes Wallace, and the actor playing the part of Barnes Wallace was
Michael Redgrave.
Yes, now Sir Michael Redgrave. You could have said also Guy Gibson, Richard Todd, you know.
But yeah, it was actually one of the few films, like, in fact, The Towering Inferno is another one, which was made by amalgamating two books. Mm. You know, instead of being based on a book, it was based on two separate stories, two separate novels, which were...
Oh, Dante's one Inferno book. And The Tower of London by... Harrison Ainsworth.
One of the most awful experiences of The Towering Inferno is sitting there wondering if you left the electric heater on.
Yes, that's right. Yes. John Amis, another brass band, this time the BMC Concert Band. What is the rather curious piece they're playing? What is it, John?
No. Well, that sound is meant to represent the foghorn
of
Padstow.
Yes,
Malcolm Arnold used to live in Padstow, and he wrote that march for the Padstow lifeboat, and it was a jolly good thing that he did, because on one Saturday evening, he fell in.
And this E-flat lifeboat came to collect him. Just like Malcolm, to put it in another key so that that foghorn note sounded so sour. It's a rather charming thought, isn't
kind
it?
Kind of sort of poor man's version of the last scene of Peter Grimes where you hear the foghorn isn't it? I think it's a very nice dig.
Yes, nice idea. John, for your second mark, Malcolm Arnold has descended on his mother's side from a composer of a century and a half ago, master of the choristers at St. Paul's and a great writer of glees. Do you know who he was? Ancestor of Malcolm.
Oh, I think I've been told this at some point.
Not by me, you haven't.
First name, William?
Cork, no.
No, no. William Hawes. Hawes, H-A-W-E-S. Never mind. All right. Why don't we give you both the marks for the first answer, I think. Fair enough. Frank, it's the G-U-S band this time, Gus. What is it they're playing? And when it's over, can you volunteer some words, please? Frank.
Oh, lovely. Stars and Stripes.
Yes, and some words?
Well, there's a...
Be kind would be a nice start, I think.
Yeah, It was a Canadian army show who came here during the war, wasn't it? They had Marge and Gower Champion were the dancers in it. And one of the most memorable things was they put words to this, which went, "Be kind to your web-footed friends, for a duck may be somebody's mother. They live on the edge of a swamp, where the weather is always dumb. Now you may think that this is the end. Well, it is."
Every word of it gets you 2 marks. Right. And on to the next round. Here are some musical dons for you to identify. Ian, who was Mozart's tenor don but Rossini's bass don?
That sounds like as if it's two rascals, music teachers, Basilios.
Yes, Don Basilio in The Marriage of...
The Marriage of Figaro and in The Barber of Seville. And I think the interesting thing is that probably one would associate villainy with the low voice, but in fact the insinuating tenor of Mozart's Don Basilio, much smaller part, is in fact, I don't know what John would think, but I think he can come over as even more evil than dear old Don Basilio in the
Barber. Good point.
You could, couldn't you?
Oh, I could, yes.
Villainous tenor, yes. Dennis, which real-life Don told Lena Lamont's co-star to make people laugh? All the world wants to laugh.
Oh, yeah. Lena Lamont was what was her name? She was best thing in the picture. Singing in the Rain.
Yes, that's
Singing
right.
in the Rain,
yes,
and that
yes.
was Donald
Gene Hagen.
Gene Hagen, yes, yeah.
Right. Donald
O'Connor. That wonderful solo performance of Make 'em Laugh.
Make 'em laugh, all the world wants to laugh. That's right, that's your mark. John Amos, which fictional Don, born in the year of the gunpowder plot, as it happens, had an encounter with Mendelssohn in 1827, with Donizetti in 1833, and with Strauss in 1898?
Ken Russell.
Born in the year of the gunpowder plot. Why don't you start all over again? I'm sorry to be so dumb.
He's a Don associated with Mendelssohn,
yes.
1827, Donizetti, 1833, and Strauss, 1898.
Oh, well, it has to be Quixote.
That's right. Cervantes, Don Quixote, yes. The year part one of Don Quixote, or Quixote, whatever you want to call it, was first published in the year of the gunpowder plot, 1605. Frank, which Don had two daughters with big feet and one daughter with small feet?
Don Key Serenade. Because the mule had hooves are very big, you know. They're bigger than Cinderella.
We seem to be getting further from the truth than
closer. No, my friend whispered Cinderella.
So Don
Cinderella.
John, help him. Don
Magnopio?
No.
Magnolia? Princopio?
Magnifico. Magnificent name.
Magnifico.
Magnifico. In Rossini's La
Cenerentola.
You must do something for your mark, mustn't you? Yes, from Rossini's version of Cinderella.
Was that what they call the father?
Barry Sonnenberg.
Yes, it's Baron Hardup.
Yeah. On Magnifico. A Barnstable, it's Baron Stonyberg.
Yes. There's a chance of 3 marks for each side now, because it's time for my piano medley. Oh. Pens and paper out. Despair written all over Frank's face. Half a mark for each title you can correctly identify, working together, of course, as 2 teams of 2. The first medley for Ian and Dennis. Tunes there. You both got the first one, I think, didn't you?
Dennis, you're on your own.
The Entertainer, yeah.
The Entertainer, yes, yeah. That's right. Then came...
That came from a film, but I can't remember which film.
Came from On the Town.
Oh, yeah.
Main Street was the title, but you didn't get that, right? Then...
It's Magic.
It's Magic.
Yes.
That's the only one I got.
Didn't you get the next one, Ian?
Yeah.
Carolina Moon.
Thank you. And then another waltz.
Yes, that was Harry Truman Plays Again, yes. The Missouri Waltz.
That's right. And the last one?
I don't know. That sounded like, now you all know the words you can sing, like the birds tweet, 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 but it wasn't.
No,
Don't know.
Step, step, stepping around. Everybody Step was the song. 4 out of 6, 2 marks out of 3. Fair enough. Medley of 6 tunes for John Amos and Frank Muir. Dash through a couple of hundred years. John, the first one.
What?
The first one.
Dee-da-dum-bum, yes. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum, Beethoven, Sonata in A-flat, Opus 31.
Not A-flat.
E-flat.
E-flat, that's better. Right.
You know that, you know, Smetana always had people saying his name wrong, and that was one of the mnemonics that he devised. Smetana, Smetana.
I didn't know that. Yes.
Smetana.
Ah, well, the other one goes, you must call me Smetana, Smetana, you must call me Smetana, Smetana, not Smetana, not Smetana.
Yes. What was the
That's
second tune?
That's medley, isn't it?
What was the next tune, Frank?
No, we're all different. Entirely different. Yeah.
What was yours, Frank?
All the music's polonaise. All the birdies go tweet, tweet, tweet.
No.
Or Lulu's Back in Town.
Lulu. Oh, yes, all right. Lulu's Back in Town. Sorry, I missed that. Then came...
Polonaise in A, opus 40 or so.
I was playing the middle bit.
Opus right. Number.
Then, did you get this next one?
And then he went off into something else.
No, it wasn't. Westminster by Eric Coates from his London suite. Then came...
Bangles, baubles,
Yes.
Beats. See how they run.
Yes, that's right. And the last one.
Dear old pals.
Dear old pals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of six, incredibly enough. 2.5 marks. Very good. Ian, would you please grip the edge of your desk? Right? You've got a rather nasty shock coming. Ready? Here we go. What you might call an example of the arranger's art, isn't it? All the music in this round is in some way unexpected, not the version you'd expect, not the artist perhaps you'd expect. Who was that, Ian, for your mark?
Oh, I don't know who. I enjoyed it, but I don't know who it was. Oh. But I'm sure Dennis can tell me.
Well, I always think it's Won't You Gay Hame, Bill Haley.
He of the sweat-laden kiss curl, isn't it, yeah. Right? Bill Haley,
or as I heard,
complete with comets.
Yeah, a rather witty version of the same song the other day as the reason for causing traffic jams, which is, you'll take the high road and I'll take the high road. Yes.
And we neither of us get to Scotland. Anyway, a mark to you, Bill Haley. Dennis, for this song, I would have expected Annie Ross, but it isn't Annie. Who is it?
My analyst told me that I was right out of my head, the way he described it. He said I'd be better dead than alive. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along that he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought I was crazy, but I'm not, don't know. My analyst told me that I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment, but I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined when out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts, no more ifs or ands or buts.
I don't know who it is, but she doesn't do to it what Annie Ross does to it. And particularly, you know, when she was with Lambert Hendricks and Ross. No. I mean, there's not the range there at all, is
there? No, no. You don't know who it is?
No.
Anybody in the audience know?
No,
what a load of squares on. Joni Mitchell. That
was
I thought you were smashing.
Yes. Well, you're looking at the question from both sides now, you see. I was pleased that that record was issued in Britain on Asylum Records, by the way. The song Twisted. No marks there, though. John, whose music was this before Stan Getz got his cool hands on it? Jolly bossa nova, doesn't it?
Yes.
What was that originally?
It's originally ti-da-da-di-di-ya-da-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-
Gabriel 4, please.
A pavane, opus 50, I would guess.
For what sort of dance or what title?
Pavane.
Pavane, yes, that's right. I was rather astonished. No, you can't be rather astonished. I was utterly astonished to see on the record label that it's credited to Ogerman and Wood. There it is.
Well, that does happen. I remember a film.
It does.
Which started off ta da dee ta da dum and went on with about 5 minutes of Brahms' Third Symphony. And it said the music was by Traugerhoff and Hum of Boom.
Well, mark to you. Frank, who was this, or rather, what was this, before it was liberated by the gentlemen of the Baroque Jazz Ensemble? I think getting some help from John.
No. No, you're just saying happy birthday. It was, I immediately thought it was probably Bach's Wachet Auf.
You thought that, did you?
Yes.
I cannot tell a lie. I was helped.
Yes. Yes. Did you get the BWV number?
No.
No. But he got the description of the chassis, didn't he?
.695, if anybody wants to know. You've got the mark, of course, there. Yes. In this final round, there's no particular theme this week, other than the fact that all four contestants are being called upon to sing, in a slightly different order, Dennis first. Dennis, how can one make... In fact, what are the ingredients for a moonlight cocktail?
Oh, goodness. Ray Eberly and the Modernaires. Mm. First of all, you need...
Yes, you do, that's
and
right.
And then it went...
Helps to have Glenn Miller conducting the orchestra.
Couple of jiggers of moonlight, add a star, pour in the blue of a June night, one guitar, add in a couple of dreamers, there you are, a moonlight cocktail made for two.
The only song in the world that ever began with the words couple of jiggers.
Couple
of jiggers of moonlight, John, of priests we can offer a charming variety. Can you tell us about Stanford's favourite priest?
Far renowned for learning and gaiety. This is a very leprechaun-y song. Steel I'd advance you without impropriety. Father O'Flynn is the flower of them all. Here's a haste to Father O'Flynn. Slaunchy and slaunchy and slaunchy again. Powerful as preacher and tender as teacher and kindly as creature and all Donegal. And there's a wonderful silly bit in one of the verses about where was the playboy could claim an equality at comicality farther with you. Once the bishop took something at your jest, till this remark set him off with the rest. Is it leave gaiety or to the laity? Cannot the clergyman be Irishman too?
Not the clergy, etc.
But it rhymes.
Yes, more or less. I last heard this sung by a marvellous gentleman called W. Egbert Trimble, the father of Joan and Valerie Trimble, the pianist. Yes. And I remember on that last occasion he said to me, "Now, John, have you found yourself somewhere to live?" And I said, "Yes, I found myself a flat at last in Victoria." "Grand," he said. "Nothing like sitting by your own turf fire." And
SW1.
He was persuaded, finally, I think in his 80s, to give up driving. After the following incident took place, he came out of his office, got into his car, forgot it was in gear, and went smash into the next car, the back of. Didn't wait for anything, but just decided to go out into the road, and in doing so, he took about an eighth of an inch off the right-hand side of this car. Then realised that, of course, he must stop, so he decided to park in front of this car and somehow foozled it and went bash into it. At which point, the man whose car this was came out of his office and said, "Mr. Trimble, there's one more side to the car." It's almost like the bricklayer's story, isn't it? It's a doom lady.
Yes. Well, back to the singing. Frank, when the infantry make a number of circuits around the crossroads at Tyburn, here in London, they are circumnavigating a monument which formerly stood outside Buckingham Palace. Can you put all of that into song?
Around the Marble Arch, around and round they march, all the pick of the infantry, half of them down with dysentery, around the Marble Arch, beware the Ides of March. They know how to get round the girls, around the Marble Arch.
I love the Ides of March bit, love the... Ian, Victor Herbert wrote a sweet little song inviting a Romany girl to stay asleep. Can you remember it if I do? Shall we have a go?
number on my little gypsy sweetheart. Dream of the fields and the grove. Can you hear me in that dreamland where your fancies roam? Slumber on, my little gypsy sweetheart, wild little woodland dark. Can you hear that song that tells you all my heart?
Sweet song. Earlier on, we had a moment of pure musical magic from Bill Haley and his Comets. I only mention it again now because the first line of one of his songs is appropriate.
See you later, alligator.
In short, time's up. This week, it's been a victory for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye, alligators.
Taking part in my music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.